if you throw in the social media and the website and newsletter visitors, we get about 80,000 people a month.
Well, that's crazy. So, I mean, I haven't been looking for a job for a heck of a long time. Is it, I mean, thank the Lord, right? Is that
right?
Is it similar to like Monster? I don't even know if that's still around, but is it like that type of thing? Or
it is. It at the heart of it, Jim, is a regional. It's a job board that serves people in the Pacific Northwest, largely in Oregon, but we're growing nationally. We added a podcast a year and a half ago, and that's helped us grow our national audience. And in addition to selling job listings, we also help job seekers by giving them information and training in the nuts and bolts of job hunting and career management, because
okay.
most jobs aren't advertised. So that's who we are, and yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to give us a couple seconds of silence. I'll hit some. Really flashy music, and then we'll come on and
okay.
we'll kick. Yeah, we'll put your dancing shoes on. We'll kick it around for 25 minutes, and
that'll
we'll
be great.
Be
and then Jim, if it's okay,
yes,
we have a new book out that February 1st called "Land Your Dream Job Anywhere." And I'd love to mention it at the end of the show when you ask about how people can learn more.
Absolutely,
if that's okay with
you. Can even mention it. You can even mention it during the show if you want. As long as every answer doesn't include, by the way, at my URL. So
right.
Yeah. I'm totally happy.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that. You and I will have a good conversation. If that comes up in conversation, let it happen.
Great. And I've had a chance to listen to a couple of your shows. So I really enjoy it. You do a good job.
So you know my audio quality is not high, but my content is very pleasing, right? So
And I know we got to get going, but you have a nice style. I can tell you've done a lot of podcasts. It feels very conversational. And
well, that's what it is. And I'll tell you this real quick. You know, I've done my show's been in its fifth year now, and I do about 100 interviews a year myself on your side of the table. And you know, I'll never forget years and years ago when somebody said, "You know what I like about your show is that I feel like," and this she said, it was a woman, she goes, "I'm going to date myself, but it feels like I'm listening on a party line to two people having a conversation. I'm just listening to some good stuff that I don't want to hang up on." So so that's it. I you know, I totally get jazzed when I talk to entrepreneurs. You know, I always ask for a few questions just to get me prompt, because some
sure.
days like this are pretty harried and I don't have an adequate amount of time to prepare. But you know, I get so excited just talking to entrepreneurs, and I think that's what people enjoy. So I'm not going to ask you, hey, what's your favorite book and what's the last?
Right.
I'm not going to do that
sure.
interview. So, all right,
yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
5, 4, 3. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm the Dream Business Coach, and this is the podcast to learn all about how to create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. I coach entrepreneurs from East Coast to West Coast, north of the border and across the pond, all levels really on how to build the business of their dreams. Today's episode is brought to you by the Dream Business Academy. That's a 3-day live event. Then our next one, which will be our 7th, is taking place in Rhode Island, actually, September 27th, 28th, and 29th, 2017. This is a marketing and business building event where you learn how to build your dream business using what I call my million-dollar platform. Learn more at dreambizacademy.com, dreambizacademy.com, and if you register for your ticket, use the coupon code podcast and you'll get $100 off. All right, let's get right to my guest this week. His name is Mac Pritchard. I'll briefly introduce Mac and we'll bring him right on. So Mac is the founder and publisher of MaxList. I guess I know where he got his name now for that. It is an online community for people looking for rewarding, creative, and meaningful work. More than 80,000 people a month visit the website. That's a huge amount of traffic. That includes a job board, a blog, and courses. Really about the nuts and bolts of job hunting and career management. Mac also hosts a weekly podcast called Find Your Dream Job. Uh-oh, I think he's using my dream thing there. and is the author of the new book, Land Your Dream Job. Mac, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good. For the people who listen to me regularly, they know this is probably a late afternoon, or Jim's been on the phone for 6 hours already, getting a little punchy here. But yeah, I like I love. So let me ask you this before I always get so excited talking with entrepreneurs, I dive right into the topic. Tell me, Mac, about your entrepreneurial roots. Were your parents entrepreneurs, or did you just have the entrepreneurial gene, or what was your kind of early journey like?
Well, my first job, Jim, was at age 9. My dad signed me up for a paper route. I carried the Des Moines Register. And so in grade school and high school, I learned how to sell subscriptions. Every Thursday night, I would knock on doors and collect bills. And I learned how to, in a small scale, grow a business. And after that, after college, I worked for others, but I have a passion for politics. And in my professional career, I either managed political campaigns or worked as a staffer on congressional races and even presidential ones. And those experiences, Jim, I now see in hindsight, were very much like being part of a startup, because a campaign has a limited duration. It could be 6, 12, 18 months, and you have to set up systems quickly, and you have to hire staff, raise money, and on election day, you know whether or not you had a sale. Your candidate either gets elected or not, and then you have to shut it all down and start over again. And I've been through that experience about a dozen times in my 20s and 30s and 40s, and it was a perfect preparation for starting my own business 10 years ago.
You know, that really is a good analogy. By the way, sidebar, I believe you might know my daughter, Jessica Rhodes. It's her company, Interview Connections, that books all my guests for me. Her and her husband, Jamie, are into politics, and Jamie, like, does election law and stuff like that. So yeah, a little bit of a coincidence there.
No.
But I can really
I
see
actually,
it, Mac. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've met Jessica, and she and I were both canvassers, and there's nothing like – yes. So there's that was my first job after college. I worked on a U.S. Senate race, and every night, Jim, and I know you know Jessica did this work for Clean Water Action, mm-hmm. but I did it for a similar group, the Iowa League of Conservation Voters, and every night I had to knock on about 75 to 90 doors and ask people to sign a petition, and I asked them to make a contribution. And so you learn very quickly how to read people, how to listen, and how to think on your feet when you have a job like that.
People who do that and or any kind of door-to-door selling, maybe I'm not sure if the two are equated, but they're pretty darn close, those people are some of the best producers, rainmakers that I've ever met, because you get literally a crash course every day in overcoming objections and training and monitoring your stuff. And, you know, I don't know what it was like where you did it, but my wife Stephanie and I, we were on our knees almost every night, because when she went to Temple in North Broad Street in Philly, she was out there in some not nice neighborhoods, although she was all over the place. But anyway, that's ancient history. Let's catch up to today.
Sure.
So what got you into MaxList? Like, how long have you been doing it, and what was the impetus for starting that?
Well, my career, I'm in my late 50s, has been in communications. I have worked as a spokesman for public agencies and nonprofits and elected officials. I was a speechwriter to a governor, a city hall communications director for a mayoral candidate. But I was also a great networker. I learned how to network. It took me time. But one of the things that I was good at was staying in touch with people, Jim. And so 15 years ago, I started a very small list of people, professional colleagues, I wanted to stay on their radar screen, and I would send them job postings. And everybody likes to get a job posting. It's not spam. We all get them. I forwarded them to others. And over the years, my list grew, and it took years to go from about a few dozen names to 1,000, about 8 years. But by then, it had become a part-time job, and so I turned it into a newsletter and started charging employers for the listings, and employers paid for that service because I was providing them value. And they told me they got fewer applicants when they posted on my list, but they were the right applicants. So they saved time and money by not having to sort through hundreds of resumes that they might get if they used one of the national boards.
Wow.
So it was not something I set out to do. In fact, I run another small business, public relations company that works with foundations and nonprofits and purpose-driven brands. So I'm actually running two firms. But MaxList was this this side project that has turned into a independent company that employs five people.
That's really very cool. So, I mean, there's some really big players in the online, you know, help wanted industry. I mean, like mm-hmm. Monster and some others. I'm at least 16 years removed from needing to find a job.
Right.
I started my business 15 years ago, and I remember those companies and some others. But so what you said something really smart there is that it's not necessarily the volume, but it's the quality. And I know
right.
in marketing, that's what it's like. You know, when I don't, for example, when I'm promoting one of my events, I'm not just throwing ads up on Facebook or other pay-per-click going like nationwide and hoping some entrepreneurs see me. We have a very targeted group that we show the ads to. And even in Facebook, we can even, as we get closer to our event, like a couple of weeks ago, we had one in Orlando. The week before the event, we had like two seats left, and we were just running ads within, 60 to 90 miles of Orlando, figuring at that point nobody's going to rearrange their schedule enough to fly, so you can just target anybody that's an entrepreneur within driving distance. So in a way, it sounds like that's what MaxList is doing, right?
It is. We've grown by word of mouth, Jim, and that's one of the reasons I think we offer so much value to employers, because we've grown organically, employers are connecting with people through relationships. And here's the deal about job boards. Most jobs don't appear, don't get posted publicly. There are estimates out there, Jim, that as many as 60 to 80% of all jobs never make it to a newspaper ad or online. Instead, they're filled by word of mouth.
Right.
And the reason that happens, there's no conspiracy, it's that it's human nature. People hire people they've worked with or who are recommended to them by people they trust. And I think one of the secrets of our success is that we've mirrored that in that we have grown organically. We are a community. So employers are plugging into a network of people who know each other and trust each other. It's a big network. But I think it gives us a value that the big national boards don't have. I'd also add that to put our board into context, you know, it's a niche board, and there are probably about 40,000 niche job boards in the United States. But to your point about focus, if you're clearly focused on the community that employers want to reach, you don't have to be big to be successful. Again, we're a mid six-figure business. We employ four people full time, one person part time, and we make it. It's a good, profitable enterprise, and it's small, but it's rewarding work.
Are you niched geographically, or by the type of industry that you serve, or both?
Both. Our job listings are largely in Oregon and Southwest Washington. We're beginning our plan in the next 5 years is to grow regionally and to be a leading job board in the Pacific Northwest. But, Jim, we also serve a national audience of job seekers because in order to, you know, we're proud of our job board. It provides good value. But we have this community of job seekers who struggle with finding work because they haven't mastered job hunting as a skill. Many of us go through high school and college and don't learn how to do that. And so we are meeting that need through a blog about job hunting, courses, books, and events and other services. And we're serving a national audience through those education and training services.
You know, so I don't know how much you know about my backstory, but I was my goal was to be a VP by the time I was 40, which I did. And then when I was 41, mm-hmm. my job was eliminated from the company. They decided they didn't need marketing anymore. And
yeah.
And I really, at that point, I still had four teenagers at home, and I kind of wanted to, I knew I'd have a business someday, but I thought now's not the time. And one of the things I learned, and which I later shared with my brother-in-law, who lost his job about 5 years after me, he said, "What lessons did you learn?" And I said, "Here's the big one I learned, because I was very proud, and I didn't want to necessarily tell everybody I was out of work. You know, mm-hmm. I certainly shared it with my family and things like that. Maybe a few close friends, maybe with people I kind of worked with. But like the longer it went on, Mac, I started telling more and more people. So what I told my brother-in-law was, tell everybody now, like right. every single person you know, go out and network and things like that. You never know who knows somebody that knows of a job that's going to be open that's probably not going to be publicized. So I'm guessing you agree with that.
I do, and I've had two long periods of unemployment in my career. One of them was in my early 30s after I'd gone to graduate school at Harvard, and I thought I would never have difficulty getting a job again. If you are out of work, yes, tell people, because you want to take advantage. The best jobs get filled by word of mouth, and the best jobs are never advertised. If you want to find them, you've got to tell people not only that you're looking for work, but what you're looking for. And it's painful, particularly as we get older, I think, to tell people that we've lost our job. I had to go home and tell my wife that twice, and that's not an easy thing to do, as you know, Jim. There are more opportunities out there. And so our challenge when we're out of work is to be clear about what we want and to ask for lots and lots of help. And you will be amazed, and I'm sure you had this experience too, how generous people can be.
It's so generous. I mean, you know, there was one Thanksgiving where there was a knock at the door. By the time I opened it, I could see the car driving away. There was two giant bags of groceries, like a full turkey and all the – I'm like, where did this come from? And there, I mean, I think it was through the church, but word gets around of people. I mean, it's just incredible. It really, it's a humbling experience. But so I know you got a book coming out also, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. Now, how in tune are you? Well, I'm sure you're very in tune as the author, but tell me about what's different today than even, say, a dozen years ago. I mean, are people using social media, or, I mean, it's such a different world than it was 15 or 16 years ago.
It is, and social media matters in a job search or in your career. You've got to have an online presence that tells the story you want to share about your work and your accomplishments and your profession. And that's certainly a big change from 20 years ago. And the reason you got to pay attention to that, Jim, is the first thing employers do when they're considering a candidate for a position or thinking about inviting them in for an interview is they Google us. And so we need to be clear. We need to do the same thing when we're looking for work. And we want to make sure that what pops up in that search engine is what we want prospective employers to see. So that's different. But some things haven't changed. And some things that have always mattered, like being clear about your goals, asking others for help, learning to network effectively. These are old skills, but they matter so much. And the other thing that hasn't changed is that most jobs are filled by word of mouth. Even in the days when newspapers were filled with classified ads, it was these hidden jobs that never made it into the paper that were usually the most desirable, and that remains true today.
Talk to me, Mac, about the art of the informational interview. What's that about?
Well, informational interviews are structured conversations that let you in 20 or 30 minutes, Jim, do three things. They let you introduce yourself and share your goals and your story. Second, you have an opportunity to ask 3 to 5 focus questions about your search. Maybe you want to identify companies that are hiring. Maybe you want to know who the leaders are in your field. Maybe you want to uncover who might be getting ready to post a job, but that you want to connect and meet with. And the third thing you can do in an informational interview is ask for other contacts, other people in the field that you can talk to about your search. These conversations aren't about asking for a job. They're about accomplishing those three things. And when you have those conversations, you will start to uncover hidden jobs. You'll make a positive impression. People will think of you when opportunities come up, and you'll get just invaluable insights into salaries, who the leaders are in your field, and you'll uncover the jobs that are never going to make it onto a job board like mine. And it is the secret weapon of job hunting. It's not about getting together for coffee or picking somebody's brain. Those are open-ended, unstructured conversations. This is a business meeting. You have to prepare for it as you would with any business conversation, and you've got to walk into the meeting and run it and have an agenda. But it's how people who do this are the ones who get great jobs and have the best careers.
What's going on in the nonprofit world? How has that changed? And you know, I know back in the day, gosh, I sound like a grandfather when I say stuff like that. But
it's okay,
which I am, by the way.
Yeah.
How has the nonprofit world changed? I mean, I guess in my own experience, it's like if you work in nonprofit, you just don't make any money. But I know that's not necessarily the case today, is it?
It is not. We have a lot of nonprofit jobs posted on our job board, and many of the people who job seekers who we work with who read our content, and they're interested in jobs with purpose and meaning. And you don't have to take a vow of poverty to work for a nonprofit in the States today. There are successful nonprofits that have well-paying positions, and your challenge if you're looking for opportunities like that is, again, to look for organizations that have those jobs and to do the research and the homework to find them. We find that people who invest that time find great jobs that are rewarding and satisfying to them.
So I have largely an entrepreneurial audience, but mm-hmm. you never know. One of my entrepreneurs listening may have a spouse or a friend or somebody, brother, sister, that's looking for work. What would be the number one tip, Mac, that you would give somebody who's looking for work?
Well, I think the biggest mistake I see people make is when I ask them about what they're looking for, they say, I'm keeping all my options open. And if you don't know where you're going, other people can't help you get there. And so I know it's a struggle, Jim. People may have two or three goals that they want to explore. That's okay. Say them out loud. Be specific. Say, I'm interested in opportunities working in marketing at a utility, or I'm thinking about making a switch to a position with a regional bank. Whatever's going through your head, say it out loud, and that makes it easier for people to think of others that could help you or to think of leads. And it also makes your search so much more focused, because when people keep all their options open, they tend to spend their time in non-strategic ways, and they end up applying everywhere, and you can't be all things to all people. Whether you're looking for a work or you're in business, you have to have a niche.
Exactly. Got time for one more question. Tell me briefly about your new book that I know is about to come out, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere, and then also take a couple seconds here to tell people more about MaxList, how to find you, and things like that.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Well, the book takes our advice about job hunting and career management, and it's really a compilation of about 3 years of blog posts, Jim. We wanted to make it easy for people to get all the information in eight chapters. And what you'll find, and the reason we did it, again, is that people struggle with job hunting. It's a skill that can be mastered, and you need a roadmap, and the book provides that. People can learn more about the book and MaxList by going to a special landing page we set up, maxlist.org/sticklikeglue, And they can download the first chapter of the book there. And there's also a link to our website, our job board, and our podcast.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Mick, thanks for setting that up. And it's been a real pleasure talking with you. And I talk with entrepreneurs all over the map. And you've certainly got an interesting niche going on. And you've got a pretty solid background. So I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
No, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you asking me to be on the show.
My pleasure. Hey, folks, that wraps up this special show called Dream. Oh, my goodness. There you go. People go, is he going to cut that out? No. This wraps up a very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. Thank you to Dream Business Academy is where I was going for sponsoring the show. Again, you can get $100 off with using the coupon code podcast at checkout. Get all the details at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. Thank you to my editors, assistants, and all of my dream team members for making my job look so darn easy. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'll see you next week. Hey, Mac, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jim. Was that good? Did you get what you needed?
Yes, it was good. It was good. Yes, I think I'll have a cigarette now. no, that was that was really good. It sounds like you and I are probably in this. I'm 58. How old are you?
I'm 58.
Well, I nailed that one.
Yeah. No,
same age. Same time and place. No, it was a great interview. I think we're about 2 weeks out, but
okay.
Stephanie will reach out and let you know when the show goes live. And I usually connect with folks on Facebook and LinkedIn so we can promote it and tag you up.
Great. I saw a LinkedIn invite from you, and I'll accept that. And we'll certainly promote the show here on the MaxList social accounts. And I appreciate the opportunity. And do you go to Podcast Movement, Jim? I'll be at the one this summer. Okay.
No, I don't, but Jessica does. She's down in Orlando now at PodFest or some podcast thing, but no, I don't. I've did my whole seminar junkie thing for about 6 years, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of got dialed in what I'm doing here.
Well, good. Well, I hope we have a chance to meet in person one day, and thanks again for the opportunity.
All right. You take care, Mac. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.